Good morning. It's Monday, and it's 9:30, and it's time for Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. How about you?
Apronless.
you know it's getting to be a thing.
I know. I'm going to go out in the world after and be human. And so I thought, no, I'm not wearing it.
Well, no one will recognize you. I hope you know that.
I know.
You can be totally stealth.
It's like Superman without his cape.
Yes.
It's just a strange man in leotards.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, it's been a weird winter weather-wise so far, but it's still wintry.
Oh, I know. I tried to make pizza the other night. Oh. So I like making pizza on the grill because I can get the grill hot. And I think pizza is really good when you can grill it really hot.
Yeah.
So it was supposed to, if I remember right, it was supposed to be like a little blustery for a very short time. And all of those things were extended. It was a lot blustery for a lot of time. And so I had the grill going, and I started the grill, and it became very blustery while I was heating the grill up. And so I can normally get my grill up to about 600, and that makes a really good pizza in about 6 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
And it was just blowing so hard. And all the little cracks. I mean, it's not a hermetically sealed thing like an oven is, you know, a
right.
grill. And it just wouldn't go above 400. And I mean, I had it heating up for like 15 minutes. And normally I just heat it up for like 7-8 minutes when I'm making pizza. And so I put the pizza out there and I looked at it after 12 minutes and it was like this anemic little pale thing that was just flaccid in the grill. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. And I talked to Marianne Merck and she's like, well, you're going to have to heat your oven up, you know. And finally, after it was like 17 minutes, I took it out and it was just, I mean, it was not my best pizza. But it was so funny because I remember grilling chicken outside, no, turkey outside when I lived in Minnesota and it was 20 below and I had one of those Weber kettles.
Yeah.
But it must have just been more airtight than...
Though it was the wind, huh?
Yeah. I think that's because it would just, any little crack, it would just whoosh right through. Oh, it was so funny and so... sad looking. It was just such a sad pizza.
It's the new pizza order. Yeah. Oh, just I'd like a half a sad and a half a pepperoni, please.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
What is the emotional state of your pizza?
Yeah. Well. you and I share the same tragic condition in that we have electric stoves.
Yes.
And so it's very, very hard to do.
Well, now they're saying that the other stoves, natural gas stoves, are bad for you. So I'm kind of smug.
As it turns out, even
meaner.
Our stoves are not particularly great, we're pretty proud of them now.
Yeah.
Well, they aren't really the right thing for pizza.
No. And then the stovetop, I mean, there's so much I do outside because I can get it hotter. I've got a wok that's on like a crab burner that can get just blazing hot. And anything I need to do real hot, I do outside.
Yeah.
In the rain.
And the wind.
Yes.
It has been exceptionally windy this year. And pretty much everything that's growing on my property has been self-trimmed.
Pruned, yes.
Seriously.
The yard is renamed the branch pit.
Yes, that's right.
Have to get a wood chipper.
Yeah.
We have a tree that alder snag that we were going to have taken down, but it's just coming down bit by bit this year. I mean, we're not going to have to.
Well,
every storm we learn, we lose like a fifth of it, you know, which is money saving.
Bonus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And anything that hasn't fallen over this winter is probably pretty sturdy.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
Anything that was frail is gone. Hey, so what have you been cooking, I wonder?
Well, I started kind of a new thing. And it's, I like to play games. I don't care if I have anyone to play them with. When I was a little girl, I used to stuff colored marshmallows in my ears because I was so bored at my grandma's and she didn't have any toys except for one monkey sock puppet. And then it was my own secret and I made everything else so much interesting. And I guess that habit has just kind of stuck with me for life. But because I felt a little uninspired in cooking, I'm not going through cookbooks looking for stuff. I am just opening a cookbook to a page and making the thing.
Oh, any cookbook.
Yeah. Yeah. And that has been fun. So I just got the idea a little while ago, and I want to use things that are in my house. So if it's something that I don't have, like the first thing I opened up to had a whole, like one of the main, of the two main ingredients was feta, and I just didn't have any feta. And feta isn't really something you can substitute a lot of things for. No, you know?
The recipes will tell you that you can, but you really can't.
Yeah, they lie, like the internet.
Yeah.
And so that one, I'm like, oh, nope, I'm not going to make that one. So, but I'm not doing that. I'm not like going through and cherry picking, you know what I mean? So the first one I made was, oh, and it's out of a book called Generations by Danielle Cartes. She does that rustic, joyful food
blog. Oh, yeah,
blog.
Yeah.
Anyway, her recipes generally turn out. So the first thing was just peas and orzo, which is a pretty simple thing and not something you would normally look for a recipe for, or it doesn't sound inspiring, you know?
Yeah.
Because generally, if I make rice, I just throw some peas in there too.
Yeah.
So if I don't have something else that's green, but it was good. She makes essentially like a salad dressing, and then you boil your orzo and then just throw in the frozen peas, and then while it's hot, put the dressing on it and then stick it in the fridge. And that usually works with pasta.
So you eat it cold like
yeah,
a salad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I actually didn't get that at first. Oopsie. But it's not a recipe I would have chosen because the picture of the recipe was maybe even something entirely different than the recipe. Like there were green beans in the thing in the picture. And that's always like a red flag when you're looking for a recipe, if something has ingredients in the picture that aren't in the recipe.
Yeah, right.
Like something's wrong, right? So, but it was just fine. It wasn't, you know, earth shattering or anything, but it was a fine side dish. And then the second thing I made was a soup. It was a green curry soup.
Oh.
Now, I like all curries, but green curry is my least favorite. I like yellow and red better than I like green, but I like them all. So it's not like a, it's not like something I don't like.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I made it. It was just a simple soup. It had vegetables and coconut milk and curry. The recipe calls for chicken skewers, but I just didn't feel like doing all the work to skewer meat. Oh, it's so much work to poke it on a stick. So she said you can also just saute the chicken and it'll taste just as good. And that's what I did. And it was good. So it was a chicken curry soup and that was good.
Yeah.
And so I think I'm going to continue with this because what happens is when I'm going through my cookbooks and I'm like, oh, I need a new recipe, I don't like stop when I find something interesting. I'm like, oh, there must be something more interesting. And then I'm like reading and reading and reading and reading and reading and I'm not cooking.
Yeah.
You know?
Then you have to get takeout because it's too late.
Time, yes, yes, exactly, exactly. So I think that I think this is a good game for me to play with myself. And I think I'm going to continue with it because
it's a great idea.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to be careful. You know how cookbooks are arranged. They start with appetizers and soups,
yes,
and then side dishes, then entrees and dessert. And I opened it to side dishes both times, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I have to be careful to think about where I'm opening the book. Like if I need an entree, you know, I shouldn't be opening like the first 10 pages.
Right.
You know, so.
Right.
So and I don't know if that's cheating, but it's my game.
Only you know the rules.
Yeah, I know. And I'm breaking them. So there is that. I don't think I'd open a book, you know, to pages that are so close together next time. But yeah, that was kind of fun.
Very cool. Very cool.
Linda's February cookbook game.
I like the whole idea of it. It is, you know, I eat your books pretty often,
mm-hmm,
because I'm just looking for something and that's all the cookbooks I have listed. But I totally go down rabbit holes about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
it's so easy.
It's counterproductive.
Yeah.
For sure.
And I think that's what I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah.
What you been cooking?
Well, I made the Dijon cognac beef stew, we've both made before.
And that's your favorite recipe. It's
well,
good.
I do really like that recipe for a beef stew recipe.
Yeah.
I think it's my favorite. Yeah. I mean, it's just a glorified pot roast.
But mustard and cognac.
And cognac. And, yeah.
Yeah.
And mushrooms and carrots. And so unlike a traditional pot roast, you don't throw in a variety of other vegetables mm-hmm. and stuff. It's just very simple, but I like it. And I like that it's all on the stovetop, although I suspect that it could just be in the oven too, but mm-hmm. You don't need to even warm up the oven. So I really like that recipe. And that recipe, for anyone who is, I did a food column in Hip Fish about it, and I know it's in there, but let me tell you, it is a Regina Schrambling recipe. That's S-C-H-R-A-M-bling, B-L-I-N-G, Schrambling.
That's a lot of letters that aren't vowels.
Yeah, it is. It and it also sounds like a drunken word, shrambling.
I know. Will you shut up? You're shrambling.
No offense, Regina. All perks to this woman because mm-hmm. this is a great recipe. I love it. And it's a good wintertime recipe. And I made some lasagna. And
I did too.
You did? Yeah. Because it's a winter thing, you know? You could just toss it in the oven and there you go. And it's always even better as a leftover than it is the first time, mm-hmm. you know? It really is good.
Recently, my favorite brand of ricotta was discontinued. And so that's thrown me for a loop. And it shouldn't throw me for a loop.
Well, now that it's been discontinued, I don't think that we are in any peril here about breaking a rule. What kind was it?
Gardenia. I really liked
it. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was thick. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And so everything else is a lot thinner. So I don't know if I have to, like, strain it for a night or what. But
I just wonder.
That kind of soupiness I don't like. So.
Yep. Have you ever heard of Mississippi roast?
You know, I have, but only, like, I've only seen it, like, the name of recipes, and I don't know a thing about it. What is it?
Well, I mean, it's a classic, you know, Southern home cook recipe, and to that end, it traditionally, it's like a version of a pot roast.
Okay.
So you use chuck roast like you normally would, but the original recipe is, a package of ranch dressing and a package of au jus gravy mix and a handful of pepperoncini.
Okay.
But the Sam Sifton recipe has you replacing the package mixes with things that end up tasting the same. So I'm not sure, except that there's probably no preservatives in it that way. But he claims it's a lot better, but I want to try it because it's a slow cooker thing, and I like those on days when I get to the end of the day and I don't want, I know that I'm not going to want to cook. So to be able to put something in a slow cooker in the afternoon and have it be ready at dinner time is my idea of a good thing. So.
Well, and then when you eliminate those package things, a lot of times there's allergens, you know?
Yes.
Did you know that they just named, I mean, like this week, they just named soy a major allergen?
Really?
Yeah. And there's always been people allergic to soy, but what it means now that it's named a major allergen, like, have you ever seen, like, bought like a jar of peanuts and it says ingredients, peanut oil, salt, and then it says contains peanuts. And you're like, well, duh. But they have to put that on there because peanuts are a major allergen. And it has to have those words in capital letters, contains peanuts, so that you see that it's a major allergen. So now everything that has soy will have to say contains soy on it because people are so allergic to it. And that's one good thing about eliminating those packets, because now it'll have to say, but a lot of times there's like secret soy in it, you know?
Yes. Yeah. So and I'm all for knowing what's in whatever it is you're buying that you didn't make. Mm-hmm. And I generally buy tamari out of just age-old habit.
Okay.
And it's a little bit different, but it may be the same potentially harmful kind of thing.
Well, it's just
depending on your system.
Soy has different names. So there could be a different name for it in the ingredient list, and somebody that was allergic to it couldn't notice it or couldn't recognize it, you know?
Right.
So anyway, that's what's new in food news. Bing! So fun!
Hey, before we proceed, I would like to remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN and North Coast Food Web, both organizations of which have superior websites. And I invite you and encourage you to go to KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org and check out massive amounts of very interesting information.
So Dale and I went to a Chinese restaurant. That was fun.
Yeah.
And they had this thing in the dish that I didn't recognize. So it was, it tasted like bamboo.
Okay.
But it was kind of ripply and kind of a long triangle. And what it was the very tips of the bamboo.
Yeah,
suit.
Yeah.
I'd never had those before. And of course, everybody I talked to, they're like, oh, of course, those are bamboo tips. But I'd never had them before. I mean, I haven't worked in a Chinese restaurant for like a decade.
They didn't get the whole bamboo shoot, maybe.
No. And I've always just had the squares, you know, or the rectangles, which I love. I mean, they're good. But yeah, they were really good. Really, really tender, delicious. I just never had a bamboo tip before.
It's like the artichoke heart.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're right. But pointier.
And soft.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's nice. So I found a recipe for sesame vinaigrette. I really like, if I'm ever going to just succumb to a bag salad, I almost always will buy the Asian one because I like I like the sesame vinaigrettes.
Yep.
And I have made, I tried to make them before and felt like they were okay. But I just found a recipe for that this morning in looking for something else, and I'm going to give it a try. Because I think that that kind of dressing also makes a really good marinade. So
I agree.
But it has soy sauce in it, so I need to put a warning on the salad bowl before I hand it to my husband. Caution, contains soy. But it's got miso in it, and I did not know that, and I seriously doubt that the commercial dressings have miso in them.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
They're usually a little too sweet.
Yeah.
Although this one does have some brown sugar in it, but it is shallots, tamari, balsamic vinegar, white wine vinegar, miso. I would use white miso. I don't want it to be too assertive. And brown sugar and grapeseed oil. And then after you put that in a blender and whir it all up, you stir in some sesame oil and toasted sesame seeds.
Okay.
And then just refrigerate it and use it as you will. I'm going to give it a try.
I think the co-op uses sunflower oil.
Ah.
Because for some reason, when you emulsify a dressing, it'll stay emulsified with that kind of oil, I think is what they said.
Oh, no.
Boy, I hope I don't have that wrong. Pretty sure it started with us. But yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah,
that
it is.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
If sometimes when I make a sesame dressing, I will put just a little bit of mayonnaise, and I mean like a little bit, just as an emulsifier.
Uh-huh.
And then that I like that, but I put a lot of ginger. I put garlic in there.
Uh-huh.
And sesame oil, and not a ton of sesame oil. I like it to be, you know, not. I don't like a salt of dressings, and anyway,
I see John Stevenson in the house.
You know, I don't even know why our show is on. His should just be half an hour longer. His show is so good.
I know it is.
Oh, so well, good.
He's lurking.
Or on time.
Yeah, maybe that. So any plans food-wise? I know you're baking a lot.
Yeah. Let's see. Well, I'm going to keep flipping open books to random pages. And
you know, it's a Mardi Gras season.
Yeah.
And so shrimp and grits.
Yeah.
Totally.
Not.
Not, huh?
No.
Oh, you can't eat shrimp.
No, I'm just allergic to it. So
yeah.
I
And Dewey. And
oh,
Dewey
I could,
sausage.
Yeah, that's true. I thought you were calling me names. Well, the next couple of days there's a new barbecue cart in Warrenton.
Yeah, and I saw.
And it's such an unusual cart. It's run by a active duty Coast Guard guy.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, this is the middle of February, and the last time he was open was the beginning of December. I mean, he's hardly ever open. So we're going to go get some of that, and I think we'll be gnawing on that for a couple days. So it can be windy if it wants to. I'm not going to be grilling.
He'll be smoking.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if the wind affects him, but he's got a giant rig. But I was thinking, I remember a while ago, you were saying that you were having trouble with inspiration, you know, for
yes.
what to make. And so what I have been finding a little bit of inspiration in is restaurants that I like and grocery stores, like fancy grocery stores that I like. Uh-huh. I've been looking at their Instagram and Facebook pages because I like them. Then most likely they're making something I like and maybe I can make it too. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Like I'm not trying to discover their recipes or rip them off or anything, but just for inspiration. And there's this market in back in Minnesota in my mom's town, Kowalski's. So it's kind of a fancy place and they have a lot of prepared food, but they'll just put things up. And just the other day, they had something, just some spinach artichoke dip. Now, that's nothing you'd just ever think of, you know. But I'm like, that sounds good, and it's cold and windy. And so I made some and some bread, and it was really good. And I just hadn't thought about that in a decade at least, you know.
Yeah.
And so I kind of count that as inspiration. It's certainly not an inspired dish, but just for something that I hadn't thought of for making for a long time, you know.
Yeah.
And so just looking at what places that I like are making is kind of helping me.
That's cool. You know, there's two kinds of inspiration challenges, I think, when it comes to cooking. And one is, what am I going to cook that I'm not bored to death with?
Yeah.
Or that will make me excited.
Like something outside of the regular rotation.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And that is sometimes limited by what you have, because
yes.
What you have is what you need for the regular rotation. You
yes,
know what I
for
mean?
Sure,
so
yeah.
There's that whole thing about inspiration for something new to cook. And then there's sometimes just a need for inspiration to cook.
Yes, yes.
So I go through periods of that I usually cook through them.
Yeah,
but
so that you live.
I just am not, you know, really excited about cooking. And I know that that's a heretical thing to say on a
home cooking show. Yeah.
But I know that anybody out there on the other end of the radio that cooks at home has times when they just don't feel like cooking.
It's a real problem.
Yeah, it is.
And I've also been thinking about, you know, I have things in my regular rotation, and I'll use an example, spaghetti with meatballs. So spaghetti with meatballs is just fine. Do I love it? No. Do I like it? Yes. And I just know that Dale's going to like it. If anybody is over, they're going to like it. So it's in the regular rotation. But I've been thinking about what I really like. Like, I love chicken lettuce cups, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I just love them. And I don't make them anywhere near as much as I do spaghetti. And so I'm kind of like reprioritizing and making sure that what I'm making is stuff that I really like and that Dale really likes, not that is just typical, you know? Like pot roast is very typical, but Dale loves that. And so I will continue making that, and I like it too, you know? But I'm going to make more things that I really love. I'm going to pay more attention to what is in my rotation. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And sometimes just when you're at the grocery store buying the usual mm-hmm. suspects, sometimes something you normally don't use looks really good
mm-hmm.
or just comes into your field of vision, and you can just like take that home
yes,
and deal
yes.
with it. So
well, and then recently I bought some smoked cheese.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
What but, kind?
The kind that you shouldn't buy because it tastes like somebody put it out in an ashtray.
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, was it cheddar or
no? It was. I don't remember. It was something actually. I didn't recognize the name of.
Okay.
And so, but it was like a white. You know, not hard, not soft cheese. And so, but that was a mistake. It was just way, 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 way too. But right by it was halloumi, and I bought some halloumi
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
And I love that cheese. Speaking of feta, it's one that doesn't like melt to gooiness. But
yeah, you can grill it.
That's what I do. And I've done it on the grill because it's delicious, but it's hard to do on the grill because you can't regulate the temperature and it might like melt through, and then that's such a gory mess. But in a skillet, it just gets all crispy on the outside and gooey on the middle, and you can cut it and it doesn't just go to liquid, you know, but
yeah.
It's not solid. It's just delicious. So halloumi, I will do it in a pan, just a little bit of olive oil, get it nice and brown on and crispy on both sides, and then I use a finishing olive oil on it, some lemon juice, fresh oregano. Isn't that a weird thing?
Oh,
fresh
good.
Oregano.
Yeah.
I got it growing. And then salt and pepper. And that's really, really good. Fresh thyme works too.
And are you, what are you doing with it then? Are you just
chewing
having
on it?
Yeah. It's like a side thing.
Yeah. Like an appetizer.
Yeah.
So I just cube it up and it's not like big cubes or anything because it gets pretty flat.
Yeah.
And I slice it so that the crispy part to the creamy part is maximized.
Yeah.
But it's something that's really good. And I hadn't had it for a couple years. And so
I haven't had that forever. I do really love it.
Yeah. It's really, really good.
See how we are? There are things we know we love, but we forget about them.
Yes.
And that's part of being on autopilot when we're just trying to get the meal on the table.
That is such the perfect word for it. And I'm going to try not to be on autopilot, but not make cooking hard too. Do like ultra difficult things, but do things that are delicious and I don't have every month.
I think too, for me, I am always doing something. I'm always involved in something. And there are times when, especially dinner time, mm-hmm. breakfast, not so much because it's the beginning, mm-hmm. you know, so you're not involved in something else. But if you're involved in something else and it's time to fix dinner, you're mm-hmm. having to stop something that you might not really want to stop,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
and go cook. So there's that little, like, tiny moment of disgruntlement before you dive in and get it done.
That's true. That's very true.
And also, I think that for me, the whole pandemic thing changed the way I used to deal with that, because when there was a night when I really just did not want to cook, or I wouldn't have mind cooking, but I needed to go shopping, mm-hmm. We would just go somewhere and eat.
Yes.
And
yes.
now we don't do that very much at all anymore. We're just out of the habit of it.
Yep.
And so there is no recourse. You're going to, you know, even on a night when you don't feel like cooking, you're going to cook. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
And we're getting back in that habit, not going to restaurants because I'm still COVID skittish. But I've talked about that before. We're going to food carts and we're going to restaurants and we're getting takeout because this thing has been so long. We are supporting them. We want them still in our community. And so we're not like bourgeois, you know, lazy or anything like that. We are specifically trying to support the places that we love. So,
yeah.
So I'm getting a break.
That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. Well, you made it through Valentine's Day.
Yes. Lots of baking for Valentine's Day. All of it's pink.
No pink food now for at least a month.
Well, and then our next holiday is KMUN's birthday.
Oh, my
I
gosh.
Know that it's months away. It's like in the middle of April, but I am just so excited. It is going to be our 40th birthday.
Yeah, that's right. And unlike humans, we're very excited about turning 40.
Yes. That's such a good point. Oh, our radio station has crow's feet.
Well, we'll have to think of something exciting and special for Food Talk during Pledge Drive, because we're going to have a Pledge Drive that week, that birthday week, and massive celebrations on all fronts for several months because, you know, we're taking the Puerto Rican approach to our birthday where it goes on forever.
At least a month. Yeah. Well, and there's a birthday cake that I like to make that's like a turtle cake. It's got caramel and pecans and chocolate, and I think I'm going to try to perfect that for our pledge drive and have that be a thing we give away.
Oh, stay tuned. Hey, we have to buzz out of here.
Okay, well, here's a birthday song. Happy, happy birthday to every girl and boy. Hope this very special day brings you lots of joy. Hope the birthday present you get from mom and dad will make this very special day the best you've ever had. Oh, I kind of started that a little low, didn't I? Oh, good Lord.
I don't know. You pulled it off. That was great.
Bye, Marianne.
Thank you, Linda Perkins. See ya.